This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
All right, it looks like now the Sanders family is hoping that Shador goes to New York. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. How did this not get out a little sooner? This is apparently, Perloff, Deion Sanders speaking at a ProMat 2025. It's an expo about, I don't know, like supply chains and stuff. It has nothing to do with sports. He's one of the keynote speakers. This is last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And he supposedly expressed hope that Shador would be drafted by, air quotes, New York. Now, there's no audio of this. There's no video of it. But it's now making its way around the internet and to us. Were we just so blindsided by March Madness that we missed this somehow?
No, I mean, I wasn't at that particular conference, were you?
So
no. Kind of relying on Ford to get out into the Twitter world. So I was very confused by this.
Yeah.
Because to me, it made me wonder, does this mean that Deion is saying, don't draft me Cleveland, or Deion is saying, don't draft Shador number two
right,
Cleveland.
Don't draft us.
Or is it saying, hey, let's not let Shador fall into the second half of the first round, New York, because if the Giants don't take him, there's a scenario where he starts to fall.
Mm.
So is it, is this a position of strength comment, or is this a position of we're a little worried that Shador is going to fall comment?
I don't know, and I don't know if Deion's going to clarify it, but you know, Deion's not that hard to find, you know, and he has never met a microphone that he doesn't love. You know, he was in the media for a long, long time, and he knows how to play the media game. I guess I'm just wondering. Well, yeah, one thing is this: when I hear we're hoping for New York, to me, the first thing is that's a subtle jab at the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Hey, our sights are set on New York. And you brought up a good point yesterday. Does he mean the Giants or the Jets? I think he means the Giants, but we can explore the Jets too.
Well, he's had a closer, you know, Joe Shane has been tracking this guy all year long.
Right.
It feels like he's much closer to the Giant. The GM
has been
at a lot of practices in Boulder.
Okay, but that's also, they should be. I mean, what else are you doing? You got some kind of like terrible running backs convention you got to get to? I don't know what else Joe Shane is doing. But anyway, I just wonder, is Deion trying to send that subtle shot, hey, Cleveland, you're not it? Because Deion said at the beginning of this thing, months ago, said, we're going to get involved. He's going to get involved. He doesn't want Shador, and he said Travis Hunter, going someplace where he doesn't feel like they can develop and they can actually like reach their potential. And to be honest, I kind of get where he's coming from with Cleveland, but we've been waiting to see if he'd actually do anything. And I don't know if this counts because it's kind of cryptic. I'm going to be honest. This is not Deion saying it on his social media. It's not him saying it on his, what is his TV show? It's not him saying it on, you know, a reputable show, it's basically we get it secondhand. So I don't want to make like a mountain out of this,
yeah.
But it is the very first time we're seeing any kind of lean anyway about what the Sanders family.
Well, he did say in February that he liked Cleveland too. I mean, there's a lot. Remember early on in the process, he said, I talked to Cleveland and New York and I'm fine with him going to the Browns. It's on the record. So, and by the way, I mean, we're talking about two of the worst teams in the league based on the draft. So I don't think there's a huge difference to me between Cleveland and New York. I mean,
reputationally, I think they're different.
Right, but I think that you could squint and you see Cleveland's been a lot better offensively recently than New York. I think if you want your son to succeed, I've been going over this. Cleveland has a lot of advantages New York doesn't have. I think you have a better quarterback coach. You have a couple weapons where New York, I mean, New York hasn't been good offensively. When's the last time they were, even with Eli, they weren't even that good offensively. They haven't been a good offense, I don't know, Tiki's second to last year. That's not where you have a real high churn offensive passing game. I think Cleveland Stefanski is a much better coach for Shador than Brian Daboll. So anyway, I think that Cleveland would be fine. I think both teams are almost exactly the same.
Well, I don't know if Stefanski is a much better coach than Daboll, but here's what I'll say. If it was just about the football and that's the only thing we're ever talking about, then sure. Okay, fine.
Stefanski's a much better quarterback coach than Daboll. I mean, Stefanski has now had a lot of success with mid-level quarterbacks.
Okay,
a lot.
That's fine. But, you know, Daboll's done on the college level and on the pro level. You know, worked with Tua, worked with Josh Allen. You know, it's not like they both... I think you could probably put their resumes up against each other, but that's not here nor there.
I don't think that's fine.
I don't want to get caught in the weeds about Stefanski versus Daboll. Yeah. My point is this. My point is that if it was just about the football, then fine. Maybe you can go to Cleveland.
Right.
But Cleveland's got so much more than that going on that the Giants don't have. There's not this shadow of Deshaun Watson. There's not the fact that they've been, we all call it the factory of sadness, and that's why. Not just because of the lack of playoff success, that's because the quarterbacks that they just burn through and leave to dry. You know, it is not a great place to go if you're a quarterback.
Well,
unless
you're
like randomly Joe Flacco half of a season and then you get to the playoffs and blow it. So it's not that awesome to me going to Cleveland. I understand why they would favor New York here.
And who are the QBs who've done so well in New York?
Well, they had Eli for, you know, 20 years. And then after Daniel Jones, I'm not saying it's been awesome, but I don't have Deshaun Watson's mess in my face. I don't have to navigate through that quagmire.
But there's no quagmire anymore. Deshaun's gone. He will not be anywhere near that building this year.
The only thing about it, though, is that contract, though, I just find it really hard to believe that's going to have no impact whatsoever on team building and other things.
Here's the thing. Cleveland could draft Shador Sanders. I mean, there's nothing stopping them from it. I think Deion would come around being the number two overall pick. But why do they not want to draft Shador? They need a quarterback even worse than the Giants.
I know.
Because they cannot spend on quarterback. The Giants could try to trade for Matthew Stafford. They're trying to sign Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Browns can't do any of that. They have no cap space. And yet, they don't seem that interested in Shador Sanders.
Maybe it's a smokescreen, you know?
Well, maybe. But every mock drafter, you brought this up last week, Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper both put out their mock drafts, and Shador Sanders is number three, and they both talk to NFL people.
Yeah.
It does seem... If you read the media, which you're right, is totally not the end all to be all, that Shador is going to go three. And to me, that's almost an indictment of Shador, that Cleveland, they need a quarterback so bad. And they want to take Abdul Carter, according to all these mock drafts. They just paid a defensive end $40 million a year. And they want another defensive end over a quarterback, which is by far their most gaping hole. It makes me wonder about Shador as a prospect.
So that part of it, we're talking about Deion Sanders allegedly last week at a conference, has nothing to do with sports, was a keynote speaker in Chicago and allegedly said, we prefer New York, but we don't have it on tape and we don't have it on video anywhere. So now we're just speculating. But here's the thing where this is actually smart for the Browns to keep this very close to the vest. If someone else is in love with Shador and wants to jump the New York Giants, not telegraphing, hey, we're taking him, does leave it open so that another team could make a really good offer. And let's say there is an even more desperate team out there who wants Shador, no matter what, could give them a boatload, and maybe they feel like, all right, we could move down in the draft and we could end up getting some extra first-round picks or whatever, and they could try to outsmart themselves. That's where I think Cleveland is at with this.
But come on, this prospect, do you really think anyone's going to trade up the number two for Shedeur Sanders? He just doesn't feel like that kind of prospect to me. And it sounds mean, but he's not big. He doesn't have the best arm in the world. He's not super athletic. I was actually teasing our friend Manny over there, a Giants fan. You're not getting Drake May. You're not getting Jaden Daniels. You're not even getting Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy. You're getting a guy whose upside is kind of Kirk Cousins. You're not getting this stud prospect. He's just, to me, Shedeur, I think the NFL views Shedeur as a very good quarterback, not a potentially great quarterback, just based on the
tools. Jaden Daniels.
I mean, yeah. I guess the question is, can he get the ball to the receivers? Like, is that, you know, Kirk Cousins did... He didn't have a lot of playoff success.
It might be worth taking Kirk Cousins there, but honestly, look at New England with Drake May. You feel like you have a weapon there.
No,
I feel like Shedeur is more of a system quarterback. That's why I like him with Stefanski, the ultimate system guy who loves like the Kirk Cousins type, where I don't know if Brian Daboll had a lot of success with Josh Allen, who is bigger than the system.
Yeah, he is the system.
Shedeur is not Josh Allen. Shedeur feels more like the Kirk Cousins kind of quarterback, which is now very popular in the NFL. But I don't know. No one's trading up to two. New Orleans, let's say New Orleans needs a quarterback. I'd be shocked if they trade up the number two for Shedeur Sanders and gave him a first round pick.
Well, I mean, the big thing is desperation. I mean, the Giants are dealing with it. I think the Browns should be dealing with it, but I don't know if they are. You know, you're looking at a team like maybe New Orleans. These guys are on the hot seat. You know, if there's a directive, don't just get me a quarterback. Also, give me a quarterback I can sell. You know, get me something that's going to be get the fan base excited.
Right.
That's a box that Shedeur definitely checks. I would say even more than Cam Ward. Cam Ward looks like he's going to go number one overall. He had his pro day yesterday. Cam Ward is less of a household name than Shedeur is simply because Shador's father. So
of course.
You want to like inject some life into your franchise. Shedeur is the way to do it. And I think that a general manager who's on the hot seat or a coach would say, this is how I get my owner excited. This is how I get everyone in the building excited about what I'm doing is to bring in Shedeur. And Shador's not going to disappoint, by the way. He's going to come in and be the full Shedeur. He's going to be confident. He's going to be charismatic. He's going to love the cameras. Like, you're going to get your money's worth.
But if you're trading up to number two, for example, I think this happened in the San Francisco 49ers, where they looked at the draft. They're like, wow, we're going way up here. We have to get a superior athletic quarterback. So they trade up. They wanted Mac Jones a few years ago, right? And they traded up to three. And I'm sure Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones, but they're like, wow, we're all the way up at number three. We have to get a blue chip prospect. We need a big, physical, running, cannon arm guy.
Yeah.
I think like Shedeur is closer to Mac Jones. You don't trade up for that guy. That's not the guy that you trade up for. Even with all, I love your narrative line about the Sanders, and you can kind of kill all the bad narratives by bringing in a whole new circus.
He's a palate cleanser.
But he's just, but physically, he just doesn't feel like a guy that you trade up to number two for. To me, I mean, Drake May went number three last year, and if you were just picking sides and you had Shedeur throwing against Drake May, you're going to take Drake May every time.
That's true. Different drafts, though. You know, I mean, that was just such a unique one last year where you had this generational guy in Caleb Williams, and then Jaden Daniels won the Heisman and put together an unreal season. So, yeah, Drake May out of North Carolina goes third. But when all is said and done, he might be the best quarterback in that entire class.
But, again, you're right. It's a different draft. This is all about the demand. This is about teams desperately needing a quarterback. So, again, is Shedeur Sanders a good enough prospect to go number two overall? And I think the answer we keep getting is no. So to me, when Deion said that to New York, he's like, come get me. Do not let me fall. I want to go number three. I don't even think it was messaging to Cleveland.
Do you think that it was also a message to the Jets?
No.
You said that yesterday, and I was like, ooh, that's kind of interesting. Like, we're all thinking Giants here because they're desperate. I know the Jets signed Justin Fields, but that's, you know, that was a very short-term kind of deal.
Yeah, there was a tweet last week from Rich Cimini, who is kind of the de facto beat reporter for the Jets, who said the Jets are fascinated with Jackson Dart at number seven. But no, I don't think that's a perfect fit for Shedeur because they have Justin Fields there. Do they really need a narrative changer like Shedeur? I don't think so. I think they could easily go offensive line and be just fine there.
Okay, one thing though I know about the New York Jets, and EJ knows this too, and again, we're talking about Shedeur Sanders and the fact that Deion allegedly said last week at a conference has nothing to do with sports, we prefer New York. We're hoping for New York, he said. Not prefer. We were hoping for New York. He said this last week in Chicago at some kind of supply chain conference that he was the keynote speaker at. I don't know. I looked it up. I was on their website. Still no idea what the conference is about. ProMat 2025.
Nice. All right, you got it. ProMat. That's where the big movers and shakers hang out.
That's the heavy hitters. I was kind of felt like FOMO, like no one invited us to the big supply chain thing. Anyway, EJ knows this as much as I do, having been a fan of this team and me working in the New York market for a while. The Jets love stars. They don't care if the stars fit. They don't care if it makes any sense. They want stars. The owner is blinded by stars. This is why Tim Tebow was a part of the franchise. This is one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers was here as well. Now, I'm surprised they didn't hang on to Rodgers a little longer, considering they are so blinded by celebrity and fame. And Shador is someone they would love. The owner's a star collector. There's a better term for that, but it's not cleared by the FCC.
Then why does he hire such non-star coaches? Somebody was asking me the other day, why are the Jets hiring another defensive coordinator?
Well, there's two things. They love stars and they love a little familiarity. Well, no. Actually, that's not true. So Aaron Glenn was a former player of theirs and he's now the head coach. But let's not forget, they love stars. Peyton Manning called the owner and said, hire Adam Gase.
Right. He definitely wanted Rex Ryan because Rex was boastful and brash. Like, he liked
Rex
that.
Was a star.
Yes. Exactly.
But that being said, no team has hired more defensive coordinators over the last 20 years than the Jets. And it's bizarre. And I don't think Aaron Glenn necessarily wants all that. I think Aaron Glenn seems like, I imagine they'll let the coach weigh in here. They're not going to let Woody's kids make this pick.
Oh, Aaron Glenn's definitely not weighing in.
I feel like, I don't see the Shador as a fit where the Jets are going at all.
But it doesn't matter. Like, that's what I'm saying. The Jets are so star blind that it didn't make any sense for Tim Tebow to be there. And they loved every moment of that.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'll definitely do a show bet on this. I do not think, if Shador is there at 7, I do not see the Jets picking him. It doesn't feel like it does not feel like a fit for that kind of
EJ,
offense.
Would they do it?
I would not be surprised. Will they do it? I think it depends on if someone can get the phone away from Woody Johnson, which who knows?
He's got some Jerry in him, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of Jerry there where you got to kind of put him to the side and say, hey, we got this. But if he really is throwing his weight around and he fired everyone else who was there before, so it makes me think maybe he is, then that would be, I don't want to say I'm concerned because I actually like Shador. But like, yeah, I think that it's a possibility.
Doesn't it feel like you're recreating the Lions? That's your whole goal here with the Jets? Doesn't it feel like Shador is the wrong kind of quarterback?
He can't be Goff?
No, because he doesn't get rid of the ball. He holds on the ball for hours on end.
I was going to say, not really, just because the team, that's not how the Lions built their team. They built their team
that's why everybody has.
And then getting like a quarterback who was on the scrap heap, which so far is what the Jets have done.
Well, everyone has a mock to tackle because everyone thinks they want to recreate the Lions where they're just going to run this offensive line at you and finally get a running game going consistently. But you know, EJ, that they will never do that, even though they should.
No.
But
I've seen mock 2 where it's like they're going to take a tight end. I'm like, oh, God. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So get it going with this sort of weird kind of report. We're admitting it's weird. We've got an eyebrow raised on this thing again.
I totally buy it.
You're buying it. Okay.
I think Dion totally is. First of all, I think Dion. I'm watching The Bachelor now at night, and The Bachelor
How's the
made it.
Going?
I'm not spoiler alert. I'm not telling you which person he picked, but
the finale
was last night. He told both women that he loved them very much. So I think Dion. I wouldn't be surprised if Dion spreads the love a little bit. It says, I would love to be in New York. Oh, yeah, I would love to be in Cleveland. Yeah, I would love to be in New Orleans. Or, yeah, I'd love to be in Vegas with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I bet you he says something. And, you know, what happened, by the way, to the old Shador-Tom Brady thing? Nobody's linking the Raiders to Shador anymore, which I think is kind of mysterious.
Well, I mean, Geno kind of threw us off the scent. You know, they seem like they kind of, you know, filled that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's there.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that Dion just wants his kid to go high. I think that's important because there is a scenario where he falls. And I'll go back to this, and we'll talk to draft experts. He is not your typical blue chip top 2 prospect. I mean, he's much closer to Baker Mayfield, but he's not this big, strong, athletic guy, and the NFL loves that.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Your thoughts on Shador Sanders are 100% welcome. We've got a lot for you today. We've got an unfortunate injury update we've got to give you. We've got more quarterbacks on the move and plenty of fun. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Let's go.
Yeah, run.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Manny, rediscovering 70s and 80s music. Who's this? I know this song really well. I heard it all growing up.
This is Gym Class Heroes, Cupid's Chokehold.
This is like early 2000s.
Yeah, this is the 2000s.
Oh, but it's a cover of Take a Look at My Girlfriend. Yeah. That's a 70s song, right? For like Cheap Trick or something?
I have no idea. This is the first integration of the song I've ever heard.
Same.
Oh, well, yeah. Isn't this an old song? Anybody can help me out here? No?
Got nothing for you.
Okay, let's get back to football then. Shedeur Sanders, 6'1 and 4/10 of an inch, 212 pounds at the combine. Doesn't scream number three pick to me size-wise, but Deion is pushing him to New York. Narrative-wise, it makes sense. I think the Giants need a new circus in town, but I think the Browns need a new circus even more. That's a team that desperately needs to pick a quarterback at number two. We are debating, is it an indictment of Shedeur Sanders if the Browns just don't go ahead and hand that card in for him? Will the New York Giants once again get a mid quarterback? I think it's on the table. I'm sorry. I think there's possibility Shedeur goes there and this doesn't work out and he has a new coach in his second year and he's on that carousel of bad team quarterbacks.
I mean, that could happen in Cleveland too, though, right? Like that could happen in Cleveland and New York. Like the how do you ruin a quarterback in three steps could happen in both places.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think New York feels, right, we're not even talking about, but Cleveland seems to want somebody else. They seem to be wanting to go the Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter thing. And listen, they know quarterbacks too. I just think it's interesting that he's not the clear number two. Because in most drafts, it goes 1-2 quarterback. When does it go 1-3? I know Sam Darnold fell to 3.
Yeah, Saquon went 2.
Yeah, and I think Sam Darnold would probably be, he was big, fast, like that is not Shedeur Sanders. It's not even really Cam Ward. Cam Ward's kind of on the small size too, but there's such a desperation for anybody this year.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN. Man, was everyone foaming at the mouth over Cam Ward yesterday. I just love, what do you think the pro day is going to look like? Now, I know it didn't work out well for everyone from the Miami Hurricanes. Obviously, Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver, EJ's sick to his stomach about this. Is he hurt? Because I've never heard of a wide receiver running this slow. He ran a 4.8, is that right?
4.8 is what I'm hearing. I saw 4.79 was the fastest time I saw online.
Barf.
Listen, it's blazing speed compared to us jabronis, but facts. It is, that is...
I don't know, I could probably top that.
You really can't. But that's nice of you to have confidence. But for wide receivers, and especially ones who are smaller, like he's not even 6 feet tall, you really got a motor. And Xavier Restrepo from Miami had a terrible pro day yesterday, but Cam Ward had a fantastic one. He's throwing dimes all over the place, as you'd expect. And at one point, he completed a pass to one of his wide receivers and pointed at the Titans brass, who was in the front, like on the sideline watching him. This dude's confident.
Yeah, he put on a show as expected.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I mean,
it's the pro day.
When's the last pro day? Ever since Teddy Bridgewater almost hit the guy on the sideline, everybody's killed their pro day.
Mac Jones did not kill his pro day.
I don't remember that.
It could cost him number three pick of the draft. Remember Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch was standing there looking concerned because they were like, oh, we may have made a mistake coming here.
Oh, I don't remember that, but that now maybe it's ringing a bit of a bell.
It was a very viral moment in whatever 2019, whatever year that was.
Well, I feel like people know you do that thing where you're rolling against your body and you chuck it 70 yards. I didn't. Cam Ward did this too. Feels like every quarterback can do that throw now, and throw it in. I mean, I don't think NFL teams take pro days seriously. I'm being dead. I know my friend Lance Zierlein said that pro day is almost irrelevant.
Well, because it's so scripted out and everything. But anyway, Cam Ward
shorts.
Was awesome.
They're wearing shorts, and anybody can throw in that situation, except, Manny, I guess, Mac Jones.
Can I hear cut three? I'm sorry, Prof, I didn't mean to cut you off. Cam Ward saying that he told the Titans brass mid-workout that he was securing the number one pick.
You hit a dime, and it looked like you turned to the Titans brass, Chad Brinker and Mike Gorazanzi, and said something to him.
Yeah,
what did you say to him?
I said, I'm solidifying it today.
You solidifying it today.
Locking it up.
They heard you? They laughed.
I made sure they heard me.
Dude's confident. Listen, he's going to be the number overall pick, and it's fantastic for him. He's not exactly walking into an awesome situation. You know, the Titans...
Number one picks rarely do.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's, you know, he's coming in with a lot of confidence. And listen, he's going to be a franchise changer, you hope. So that's really fun. But he's not walking into something easy here. But anyway, Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. I'm sorry, did you want to say something else?
Well, real quick, what is the player comp for Cam Ward? Because I heard on the Ringer podcast today, three guys were on there and they all had three wildly different quarterbacks. One was Kyler Murray. another one, which I didn't understand at all because he's taller than Kyler Murray. There was a Kirk Cousins comparison, and there was one other sort of mobile-ish quarterback. Who is he? I'm not even quite sure. To me, I think there's one player comp, but you're not allowed to do it.
What?
He's clearly Patrick Mahomes stylistically. Plays like a baseball player, throws the ball all over, you know, three-quarter delivery, half delivery, but you can't compare him to Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is too big.
Well, you mean too good?
Yeah, he's too good. Like, it's like you could never do a player comp to Tom Brady for quarterbacks coming into the draft, right? Are you allowed to do that player comp?
Well, I remember people doing it for Zach Wilson, and that didn't end up very well.
To Tom Brady? No, to Rodgers, right?
To Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Well, it happened. I think it might have been Chris Sims. I don't know who it was. I think it was Chris Sims. You know, Chris is really good with his quarterback evaluation. That one was a miss, but you know, he was one of the only people on Lamar Jackson, so give him credit for that. But
I thought Zach Wilson was a reincarnation of Aaron Rodgers. I remember
that narrative that came out once they had that training camp, and then Rodgers came here. Then that kind of shifted.
Okay,
that's his favorite quarterback. He talks about Aaron Rodgers a lot.
Oh, I had never heard.
With the Mahomes stuff.
The NFL comp, by the way, for Lance Zierlein, who does them for NFL, was Jake Plummer for Zach Wilson. I got to give him that one.
Right on the money.
He got Jake Plummer.
He'd kill to have Jake Plummer's career at this point.
A non-drug taking Jake Plummer.
Oh, yes. Isn't that what Jake's doing now? He's got a mushroom farm or something.
Now. That dude has been.
I mean, now he's professional.
Denver was the right home for Jake Plummer.
Now we know where Maggie gets her stuff from.
Well, also, now we understand, like, maybe Rodgers should have really been talking up Jake Plummer this whole time. Apparently, they got a lot in common.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I bet you they are. You don't think those dudes are friends? Look in the background of the next documentary in Costa Rica. We'll see if Jake is hanging out. Jake's all about the mushrooms, right? That's his deal.
Yeah, it's called plant-based medicine, Pearl. Yeah. Bogish is here. Hey, Bogus.
Hey, crack addict. Headlines are sponsored.
That's a legend.
By Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Deeper. USC women's basketball is back in the Sweet 16, but it does not matter at the moment.
Watkins goes down hard, and she's grabbing her right knee, quickly grimacing in pain.
That's how it sounded on ESPN when Juju Watkins tore her right ACL, driving to the hoop just 5 minutes into the second-round game with Mississippi State last night. Head coach Lindsey Gottlieb.
We never want anyone to go down, especially someone, you know, like Juju that we all, you know, lean on in so many ways. But this team rallied. They rallied for her. They rallied for each other. Our fans had our back. I'm just really proud, and I think we showed what kind of team we are.
The other Trojans did cruise to a 96-59 win, but now they continue without one of the best players in the sport. Speaking of that, Paige Beckers tying her career high with 34 points in her final home game, UConn thumping South Dakota State 91-57 to reach their 31st consecutive Sweet 16. Coaching news now from the men's side. Texas has officially hired Xavier Sean Miller the day after firing Rodney Terry. Iowa went with Drake's Ben McCollum to replace the fired Fran McCaffrey. And Minnesota gave its job to Colorado State's Nico Medved. Luka and LeBron combined for 56 points last night, but the Lakers lost again, 118-106 in Orlando. Luka's new team has now lost 7-10.
I think me and Bron, I think we should be the guys, you know, to do that. And that's on me. Obviously, I got to do better. I got to talk more. I think I talked in first half, then just kind of voice down, and I shouldn't do that.
The Lakers are now tied with the Grizzlies for the 4th and 5th seeds out west, one game behind the Nuggets, who also lost last night 129-119 at home to the Bulls.
Now the Lakers are struggling. Are we ready to say the Mavs won the trade?
Yeah, clearly.
Anthony Davis is coming back.
Looks like the Mavs knew what they were doing.
Nico's off the hook.
Bronny scored like 38 points in the for the South Bay Lakers, so everything's working for the Lakers right now.
On the bright side.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, 12.7 rebounds in his second game as a Maverick. 6 weeks in between those two games. They won in Brooklyn last night, 120-110. Devin Booker scored with 2.4 seconds left to get the Suns past the Bucks, 108-106.
and Jason Tatum had 25.7 rebounds, 8 assists before spraining his left ankle late in the third quarter. The Celtics think it's not a long-term thing. They won this game in Sacramento 113-95. And the Dodgers now expect Mookie Betts to play in today's final tune-up against the Angels in Anaheim. Manager Dave Roberts then optimistic Betts will be okay for opening day on Thursday after losing 18 pounds while being sick.
I heard he's at a buck 57 right now.
And he looks it.
Oh, man.
The amount of pounds he lost just changes, I feel like. I've seen 23, I saw 15, you're saying 18. Like it's been...
Yeah, 15 was the first number. Yeah. Then like 20-plus was bouncing around from the weekend, but yes, this new thing says 18.
Maybe he's a weight fluctuator.
I saw his quotes. He said, my body was eating itself.
Oh,
it's the grossest thing ever, and he couldn't hold down any meal. I don't
apparently
know what
he can't. He says I can do everything else. I'm working out, but he says he still can't eat.
Well, he's afraid to eat, too.
That's petrifying.
I wonder if he has a parasite.
That's what I was thinking.
That's the only thing I'm
thinking. Maybe he's got something like, obviously, this is beyond food poisoning or something like that. He's got a virus.
Yeah. I would hope he has a good doctor other than us opining medically. Yeah. Looking at the internet.
Sit in this hot tub. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, if EJ thinks it's a parasite, I hope the million-dollar doctor the Dodgers have could figure this out, too.
You don't think Robitussin will take care of this?
Can't keep it down.
Yeah, Dodgers used their medical budget on Shohei, so they got,
that's right.
They got nothing.
And all out.
Yeah. All of it. WebMD.
We've got a walk-in clinic for you in the Valley.
You can see a doctor in 2042.
They could get a Zoom doctor appointment. They couldn't even get a real doctor appointment for Mookie.
Oh, man. Well, we are having a nice laugh at his expense while he says my body is eating itself. I'm glad. Hearty har har, everyone.
Wow. Trust me. When he goes 3-for-4 against your Mets in the playoffs,
don't worry.
It won't be as funny then, Maggie.
He'll probably be at full strength and then some. Bogish, thanks so much. All right. Coming up, lots more to do, including this one was a bit of a shock. But I think this news item that came out yesterday actually is a part of bigger dominoes that are about to fall. We're going to tell you exactly what we mean in a moment. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Check your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie stepped out for a second. We're debating where this song comes from. It's a song called Breakfast in America by Supertramp, and the version that you guys played was by who?
Gym Class Heroes.
Gym Class Heroes, who clearly basically took the beginning of this song from 1978 that Manny and EJ had never heard of. Bogus, have you know Supertramp, right?
I know Supertramp. I did not know their version of this song.
Oh, you knew the Gym Class Heroes?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. Our guy Cap knew the original song. Supertramp's a pretty famous band. They're kind of like a 70s. They're very much like Cheap Trick to me.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
But you guys looked at me like I was crazy when I didn't. I was like, oh, that's that old song from the 70s. You looked at me like I was nuts.
Well, I mean, you are nuts, number one. Number two, you're talking about a song that wasn't popular. I mean, listen, I listened to
no, stations. No, that Supertramp song is a huge hit.
Listen, man, I didn't come up too often the 70s radio station that I listened to growing up. How popular could it have been?
Did you listen to a dinosaur rock radio station growing up?
Oh, yeah, 60s, 70s, 80s. Oh, yeah. I'm
like Sweet Home Alabama, those kind of songs?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Huh. EJ did not. You are not aware of any of those songs.
I'm aware more of like Motown, like WBLS in New York and Kiss FM. Like they play like Motown stuff. So those songs I know.
Big Temptations guy.
Yeah, but like this kind of stuff, no, I would not have known this.
Like the British Invasion.
Yeah, none of that stuff.
Okay. With Maggie not
you
being.
You ever heard of the Beatles?
Yeah.
Heard of them.
Heard of them. Yeah. Don't know a song.
No, oh, yeah.
No, they're out there.
If we quiz EJ on the Beatles, how would you do on a Beatles quiz?
I'd probably do okay. I never told you guys a story about how when I was in elementary school, one of the play we did in fifth grade was a history of music play.
Right, you have told us this.
Yeah, and you guys remember who I played?
Elvis?
I was James Brown.
James Brown, okay.
Yeah, so by every line, because, you know, I'm the only black kid, you know, at the school, basically, black boy at the school or in my class.
But James Brown wasn't in the Beatles.
No, I know.
That's the story.
No, I'm getting to the point, Bogus. The point was that we sang through a lot of songs through that era, and we had multiple Beatles insertions. So I feel like I might do okay on the Beatles, because I literally, for 2 months, had to know every word of several Beatles songs.
By the way, James Brown, that is a tough role to pull off. Could you do those James Brown moves?
The funny thing about the script was all I said during the entire play was, I feel good.
Yeah.
Literally, those were the only lines I
accurate
had.
That's so, really all you need.
So, yes, I was fine.
EJ Stewart, Chadwick Boseman, same.
Exactly. Where's the Oscar?
Yeah. I always think of the Eddie Murphy getting in the hot tub sketch for James Brown. That's in my mind. Anyway.
Not in a fifth grade play.
So, Andrew Bogus is here, Giants fan. Without Maggie here.
God, I hate being introduced like that.
I know. I'm
terrible label.
The way the show is laying out for the next month, it feels like I'm the anti-Shador Sanders guy, and I'm not. I just don't think he is really the kind of guy that usually goes 1, 2, or 3 in a draft. He's 6'1 and a half. He weighs 212 pounds. Tell me what it is that makes him a top 3 pick. Anybody here. He doesn't have a killer arm. He held on the ball way too long in college. He's got what people are calling subpar athleticism or just average athleticism. To me, Shador is not an obvious top 3 pick. It feels like Deion is forcing this in, and I think teams need a quarterback. But Shador, to me, it's so different than last year when Drake May fell to 3.
Well, he's the second best quarterback in the draft.
Yes, and that I agree with.
So, like that, I mean, that's the reason. And then there are quarterback needy teams in the top 3. So if you need a quarterback, and on face value, I believe that you can't reach for a quarterback if you're right on him. If you take Shador Sanders number 3 and he hits, even if he's the 30th best player in this draft, you can't complain about that pick. So, like, if you think he's good enough to be your starter for the next 8 years, you should take him at 3 or 2 and be done with it.
So the scenario you just described is he's the best guy who happens to be here. If you're the Giants, aren't you at least tempted to go with just Jameis Winston and wait for next year when it could be a much better class?
I mean, yes and no. The problem is, like you're asking another year of crappy Giants football?
Because
as you're well aware of, this has been a long-term struggle for
You're probably getting another crap. You have a rookie quarterback and a subpar offensive line. I don't think you're getting a Super Bowl run.
But they also seem incapable of staying in position to draft a quarterback. They messed up. They messed up Jaden Daniels. Even this year, they could have been. They could have had the number one pick this year. And they could have been already telling, we're taking Cam Ward. This could have been settled today if they were sitting there at number one. But they won too many games again.
Okay.
And now they're stuck at number three.
Another scenario. Would you offer next year's first round pick to move up from 3 to 1 to draft Cam Ward if you're the Giants?
Because
I think the Titans might be tempted by that.
I would consider that.
What if next year's first rounder was Arch Manning?
Well, my thought is if I trade for Cam Ward, then I'm not going to have the number one pick next year.
Yeah, that could happen. But again, he's a rookie. You never know. Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Should Shedeur Sanders go number 3 to New York? And what do you think Bogus Dion wanted to accomplish last week at a convention? He said that we're into New York. We want New York. I think everyone assumed the Giants. Do you think that was to guard against Shedeur falling below number 3, or was that a message to Cleveland, don't take me at 2?
Can it be both?
Yeah.
I think it can be both. I think it can be like, hey, I hope Cleveland hears this, and then I also hope the rest of the league hears this, and I'm going to talk into existence the fact that he deserves to be in the top 3. Like, it's a little self-preservation, and it's a little bit of, let me just clear that second spot because we want no part of that organization. But I think it's more about just trying to talk him up and put him in a place that they want. It's less negative about the Browns, but I do think the Browns are part of their strategy to like stay away from them if possible.
Yeah, and that's because of the history of the Browns being bad. Because I think right now, and Maggie and I keep arguing about this, on paper, the Browns and the Giants are basically the same. Todd McShay, the former ESPN draft analyst, he likes the Browns as a fit much better, and he has his history of quarterbacks with Stefanski, who've done really well. Slightly undersized, slightly under-athletic, like Kirk Cousins. He listed my guy Case Keenum on that list. Joe Flacco couldn't move at all. He says that Stefanski is perfect with a Shedeur Sanders kind of quarterback, and that's a better fit. Where Brian Daboll's claim to fame is Josh Allen. He is not Josh Allen. So I think like Stefanski gives them an immediate chance of success. He'll do the kind of plays that would really fit Shador's skill set.
We also don't know what Stefanski's job security is.
We don't know what Brian Daboll's is either.
Well, we know that he's fired after this year. Like, I don't know if Stefanski's fired after a 6-11 season in Cleveland. But if they're bad again this year, we know Daboll and Shane are out.
Yeah, I just think Kevin Stefanski, he's 2-time coach of the year. And I'm going to
choose. Which is never not funny. Not in a negative way to him, but it just seems like, really?
Did you see Joe Flacco come off the couch and throw over 350 yards a game?
Yeah.
I think that was a product of Stefanski can run a really good offense with the right quarterback. It didn't work at all with Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure why. I think Deshaun Watson had a lot going on, as they say. But I think Stefanski is a perfect coach for Shedeur. I think the whole thing is a mess. I think Cleveland and New York are both going to have, they're going to draft, one of them is going to draft Shedeur, and I don't think it's going to be a great year next year. And I think the Giants, as a franchise, are in real trouble because if Shedeur doesn't have the support around him, he's going to go there, and he's probably going to go 5-12, and they're going to fire Brian Daboll, they're going to fire the GM, and then he's in year 2 with who knows what.
Yeah, the first problem to me is that Shedeur doesn't deserve, air quotes, to be there at 2 or 3. Like, that's the biggest problem with all of this, is that Shedeur is not that guy at the moment. If this would be an easier pick for him, we wouldn't have Dion saying things, we wouldn't have any of these conversations, we'd know where he's going. The problem for Shedeur is both of those teams are unsure if he's worth that pick, or, which I assume the Giants are considering, this is what keeps coming up in mock drafts too, is coming back into round 1 to get him somewhere 20+, which makes it a little more, you know, if you leave the first round with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter plus Shedeur Sanders, it's a little different than just Shedeur at number 3 if he fails.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Remember when they were looking at Daniel Jones and they thought, well, he could last to 15. So maybe we should wait. And then they ended up taking him at 6 because they got nervous.
But I hope it certainly seems like whether or not they learn from the Daniel Jones situation, like it's okay to not get Shedeur Sanders. It's okay to leave that that first round, that first Thursday night, without him.
Then who's your quarterback? Jameis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jameis is getting paid backup money, so maybe they bring him Russell Wilson. There's a report they're still after Rodgers.
Right.
So they could go many directions. I have a question, EJ, for you, because Cam Ward worked out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to Shedeur, too. I watch a lot of Cam Ward in Miami, mainly because you are a Hurricane fan and you turned us all on to the Canes, and it was annoying, but it was fun to watch Cam Ward.
Thanks.
What's the deal with him holding onto the ball? I feel like draft analysts are not talking about the fact that both Shedeur and Cam went back every down and said, I'm the best player on this field. I'm never going to get rid of it. None of that's going to happen in the NFL, right? How do you deal with that in your evaluation of Cam Ward?
I mean, I think that there are plays where you see him clearly hold the ball too long, and those are the plays where he made brilliant plays, and of course the plays where he made some of his worst plays. Miami's offense is a timing offense. I do want to take some of the narrative about Cam Ward. When they were at their best, it was when he was just humming that ball, getting out quick to a guy like Restrepo. Restrepo's a slot receiver. He's not a guy who holds the ball long and see if we can get him 50 yards on the field. You just saw he ran a 4.8 at the combine. So a lot of Miami's best stuff was actually when he was getting the ball out quick, which he can do.
But there are a lot of times he does not do that.
No, there's a lot of times he doesn't. But I'm just saying, as someone who watched all the games, the narrative that he only holds the ball too long, that's not the case. In fact, a lot of times those plays happened when Miami was down or it was a close game late in the game. Georgia Tech was a big game, obviously.
He would not cut the ball loose.
Right, and a lot of that was because the short game was gone. That team did a really good job of taking away the short stuff, and that's where Cam needs to know when to take the underneath. There's some plays where it's simply where he's just not getting the ball out quick enough when things are there. He'll get the ball out to a guy underneath, and the guy's now swarmed by 10 guys because he didn't get out to him quicker. So that is a problem. I get it, but I'm not as concerned because I feel like that's somebody you can coach out of him, right? I'd rather have the guy that's a little more aggressive than the guy that doesn't have the arm talent that Cam Ward has.
Oh, great arm talent, no doubt about it. Throws it from every weird angle possible. But it gets back to what we were talking about. Are we forcing these quarterbacks into the top of the draft?
Yeah, because you have to.
But you didn't have to last year. Why? I mean,
what do you mean? We had 15 guys in the top 10 last year.
But they were great. I mean,
well, no. They were not great. They were not great.
They were great prospects.
They were debatable.
The top three prospects were great. Oh, come on, Drew. Caleb Williams was generational.
Drake May's a little.
Yeah, Caleb and Jaden are right to the one side. And then we go Drake and Bo Nix and Penix.
Oh,
after
I think Drake May was a fantastic prospect. I'm not saying.
Wow,
I mean, 6'4", and he's basically the reincarnation of Justin Herbert, for better or worse.
Look at that.
You don't think he's a great prospect? And also, Penix can throw bombs all over the field. J.J. McCarthy's has been this elite athlete quarterback since high school. And Bo Nix would go number one in this draft, no doubt.
Well, they probably all would go number one. Well, most of them would go.
Bo Nix, actually, maybe not. That's an overstatement. Bo Nix, I don't know. But a lot of those guys were better prospects than these guys.
But all of these guys are certainly better than Shedeur. And would be locked into, we'd be just having a conversation of, Cam Ward to Tennessee, who are the Browns taking, and then who's left over for the Giants? And those teams would be sitting there waiting to get the guy they wanted, or at least the guy that was the best guy left for them, as opposed to, do they do something else? Do they take a defender and trade back in? This would be a far different conversation with those guys. So they certainly are above average prospects, but the back three guys are not yet Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels.
No, I see what you're saying. EJ, would you take Cam Ward over Drake May?
I would. I think his last year at Miami was better than Drake's last year at North Carolina.
Yeah, but Drake was at North Carolina. Who's good at North Carolina?
I mean, I'm being real. What has Miami done? They haven't had a quarterback draft in the first round since the 80s.
They were scoring 40 points a game last year.
Which is why I would take him over Drake May, exactly.
Good point. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the player who will not let the trade we all want to see happen. Maggie and Perloff Show.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.